54 of your pew Bible. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. This is the word of the Lord.
I think this is the right time. I get always a little bit nervous when, you know, even at my home church, I'm the guest preacher. We're in the midst of a series that has begun by Pastor Mike, our transitional pastor. And this series is about the questions that Jesus asked. And so before Mike took off for Chicago, I asked him, "What question should I go for?" And he actually was very generous, gave me three. And so today, I am working with you on this question. Do you want to get well? Sounds a little bit silly on the surface. Do you want to get well? The automatic answer is sort of, kinda. Yeah, maybe. Those are all the subtle backdrops to the answer, yes. In 2010, about 7.5 years ago, I had a heart attack. It called for triple bypass. I don't know where that came from other than stress. I have no history in my family. I was a pastor, and so, you know, be kind to your pastors, will you? In the first few days after surgery, I was in intensive care and then kind of a step-down unit. And the idea was, do you want to get well? And the answer to that, of course, is what? Yeah, except for they had these torture machines. Here's one. I brought show and tell today. You see, this is a monster. It's made to increase your lung capacity so that you might be able to breathe after surgery. And the idea is you suck on this, and it moves a little ball over here, and it moves a little flow over there, and they set the goal. Thing. And initially, it was quite low, and I could do that. But then they moved it up and said, moved it up. It was painful. It was seemed torturous. And they left Marcy to be the one who administrates that torture. A couple simple things. When it was time for me, I was to get and sit in a chair. And then I had the responsibility to feed myself. I'm doing that. Actually want to get well? Did I want to do things that would lead me to get well? Or would I rather prefer that I went my way? It went on like this for about a day and a half. And then my dear wife, some of you know Marcy. She's sweet. She's gentle. She's kind. Everyone loves her. She went out to the nurse's station and said, because we just don't operate that way. In our house, in our family, when you were sick as a child, we treated you like you were sick. If you couldn't go, you couldn't go to the dance after school. If you were sick and couldn't get going, then you went to your room until you got well. You didn't lay in front of the TV. We focused on you getting well. Interesting account today, isn't it? Interesting account. If you have your Bible, if you have a way to get to a Bible, I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we're going to work in verses 1 through 15. But here's the setting. Jesus is on the move as we approach chapter 5. He's moving into the formal ministry that God has and his Father has called him to. And this sometime just means a transitional period from the last place in chapter 4 he was to this place. And we read sometime later Jesus went to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. It was actually a series of feasts that John's going to unfold. This is the Sabbath feast. It's a special occasion, not just a regular Sabbath. It's a Sabbath that is meant for celebrating all the Sabbaths. Verse 2, is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. This is a real place. I mean, you can go there and study the architecture of it all and see that there was one pool and two pool, and yeah, there's good. In fact, there's a church right there. It's a real place. In verse 3, here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, that is, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And what they would do is they would lie because the understanding that we have is that many people would lie there because the water would stir. And the belief was that water was stirred by an angel. And it was the first one in the water at the stirring who got healed. It's the classic, the first should be first. Now, if you were blind, you were at a real disadvantage. I think many people who were sick, they said, oh, it's your turn to be healed. If you were blind, you had a little bit of advantage because you could see and move, but if you you're not going to win the race very often, are you? Even if you can't see. This person was here waiting to be healed, to have his turn in the water for how long? Day and a half. 3 weeks. 10 years. 38 years. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to do something. I get healed. Sometimes I think Jesus should have asked this guy the question, how's this working for you? So in verse 5, one was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you answer? Yes. Right? I mean, actually, it's not here or in the Greek, but in the understanding, it's yes. The invalid replied, I asked me. You ever feel like that? Like you're doing everything right, and it's not working out. And this guy is looking at healing as a resource of scarcity. There's always, and the first one there gets it. Don't you wish that there was like videotape of what happened next? Don't you just wish that the focus would be right on this guy's face when Jesus said these words? In verse 8, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walked. What was the look on that guy's face? What are the possibilities? I mean, so my kids use that a lot now. When my translates down to my grandkids, I'm going to solve that problem. But right now, they're my kids, and I have to do what they tell me. Get up. He's been paralyzed for how long? Get up. Not only that, pick up your mat. You're done with this place. What if the question was asked, do you want to get well? And the answer was right before your face. Right in your ear. Right before you. What would be the look on your face? The look on my face. Not doing it. Too much hurt. Too much pain. Too much for me. Maybe later. Can you come back later, like maybe 3 or 4 years, and then, you know, when this is all healed up, then I'll put this thing all for you. But not right now. What's the response of this guy? Verse 9, at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. Man, this guy, I'm telling you, is smarter than me, more capable than me. I'm too much of a whiner. I'm too much of a victim. I'm too much of a slothful guy. Are you kidding me? Get up and walk. No, man, forget the man. This guy, 38 years was waiting. I'm getting up. I'm picking up my mat, and I'm walking. We're thinking thinking about a little bit, don't you think? Verse following this event, there's some conflict that arises. Because on the day this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." And the man, dropped his mat, fell down. It actually doesn't say that at all, does it? But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And he got up and he walked. He just did what Jesus said. He didn't blink. There's no accounting of reason. He was obedient. Once the man was cured, picked up the Sabbath, "The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" And so they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you, 'Pick it up and walk?'" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away in the crowd that was there. Apparently didn't even ask Jesus' name. So excited about being healed that what? Could you? I've been known to do that, have you? Forgetting to be grateful for what has been given to me and excited about what lies ahead. Forgetting the past, pressing forward. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't even figure out who had healed him. Verse 14. There's a resolve. Later that day, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Wow. I'm not sure it's worse than being an invalid. But Jesus commands him to stop sinning. Is there a connection here between sinning and healing? Well, some people might want to make a one-to-one correspondence here that, you know, when you sin, that there is a price to pay for that. There's a penalty. And there is, isn't there? Isn't there some sin in life that when it takes place in you, with you, that there's a price, and sometimes a very high price? Let's just suppose, after church today, I went to a bar, slammed down a few, jumped in the car, and oh, you know what happens? I get in an accident. We'll make it easy. A single car accident, nobody else involved except for me. Boom. Now, does sin have a consequence? That was a direct sin, right? Who's responsible for that? Who needs to own up to that? There is some sin, is there not, that we are responsible for? If I decided I didn't have enough groceries, went over to the local grocery store, loaded a basket, rolled. Is that stealing? Or is that me just getting my needs met? You with me? I mean, I'm smart manager of the store is going to walk. Hello? There's this odd guy. He just rolled out with a whole bunch of groceries. Mr. Policeman, will you come stop him? There's consequences, aren't there? Now, is it true that all maladies are caused by sin? No. I have a very dear friend. This couple just had a baby. That baby got to the point where they're cutting their teeth. How old is that? Yeah, 6 months. In that zone. 5 days ago, Wednesday, Thursday, that baby's arm went limp, paralyzed. I have no idea what's going on. It's been in the hospital this whole time over the weekend. They think maybe because he's teething that Teddy's body allowed some kind of infection in. Is that a result of that child sinning? No. No. So we pray that healing would come, full restoration. And it really doesn't matter how we get into the jams that we get into life, whether we're responsible or whether it's systemic or whether it's unexplainable. Jesus asks this question: do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? I want to get well. But there are some things on this side of the kingdom that I don't expect to happen. I don't expect a full healing. But I also have decided just not to lay on my mat by the pool waiting. I had the good fortune, the blessing, earlier this year to speak at the Bridge Ministry Dinner. And there are folks who are struggling in great and terrible ways. And I had no idea what to tell them. I was to bring the message. It was supposed to be short, so I'm making up for it today, making this one long for you. What do you bring to a crowd like that? Go ahead, just lay on your mat, it's okay. You're just a victim to your circumstances, and yeah, no one expects anything. And the more I contemplated and thought about it, the more I talked to a few people, the more I began to understand, even when we're afflicted, even in those moments, as best we can, when we get our wits about us, we're to be people of gratitude and thanksgiving. And we're to be grateful for what God has given to us. There have been many difficult hardships in our lives, hasn't there? I bet if we went around the room, we could name them, label them. The strong, the wise, the obedient have let go of those. They've heard that Jesus ask the question, do you want to get well? And with a heartfelt response, we say yes. And we pick up our mats and we walk. And at that message that I brought to the Bridge Ministry folks was that everyone in that room is grateful and thankful for something, for somebody. And would you, in the midst of your situation, turn and give thanks to those persons that are near you for that they have contributed to your life and how they have blessed you. It was a small version of pick up your mat and walk. I think that can be true for us, don't you? I mean, that's our context of life, is it not? Jesus just doesn't ask us, do you get well? He also tells us, pick up your mat and walk. The question Jesus asks this week prompts us to consider several categories about our own understanding of sickness and health and well-being. The paralyzed man's encounter with Jesus may open us to our own unexpected surprises. I've been reflecting on this for over a week now, about the paralyzed man and how change happens. Do you remember Newton's first law? Neither did I. So, no, engineer types, physicists, you got this. For those of us, join with me. Newton's first law of motion states that a body at rest will remain at rest unless an outside force acts on it. And a in motion at a constant velocity will remain in motion in a straight line unless acted upon by an outside force. I'm not going to quiz you, and don't quiz me, okay? But you have the principle. In family counseling, there's a thing that matches this. It's called homeostasis. It's that we find balance within our family system, within the system of within the system of our life. And that's where we stay. And anytime we get balance, we do balance. This guy is sick for how many years? And he's got no balance. He can get balance. I'm waiting for the time when I get my turn. And meanwhile, what's happening? The world is passing him by. I mean, maybe he could just make friends with the guy next to him. I know he is in that era of humanity. This person was neglected, poor, dirty, far away. Maybe there was another way to go. A body at rest will remain at rest. Body in motion will remain in motion until something acts. This concept of homeostasis asked me, wait on me, and I'm going to share with you about personal healing. Making peace with God and his people. Do you want to get well? Do you want to have the relationship with God that he's called to you? Have you considered that God through Christ and the Holy Spirit is nudging you and calling you to be more healthy than ever before? There's a couple of us here that are older than 38. And we're still waiting for God to show up. And God is already here. And wants to be in relationship with you. And maybe by simply trusting and acting on what you know may get you started on that journey of picking up your mat and walking. Outside this context, are there family members? Are there friends where your relationship is injured, paralyzed, awful? You who are in Christ are the mature, the wise. Is there a way to act, to hear these words of Jesus? Do you want to be well and continue to come before folks, even in your woundedness, delivering grace, mercy, peace, restoration. That relationship that is difficult might get up and walk again. Might get up and walk again. Church, this group, this body, you're part of this body. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you remember this? The vitality series that we were in? Do you remember 10 healthy missional markers? How many of you want me to read those all right now? Yeah, okay, got it. But maybe it would be good to drag those back out, huh? Because wellness has been identified in a short and concise way. Are we moving in that way? Are we picking up our mat and walking in that way? Are we moving in the direction that our leadership and our search committee is moving so that our future could be exciting? You know what I like best about the 75th anniversary of the church? I like the old pictures. And not the pictures that I was necessarily in, okay? Older than that. Real old. I love the picture of that first piece of the building. You see it? And there's these steps, and there's a crowd of people there. So the steps wouldn't hold, so it goes all the way to the edge of the frame. There's a church that was living into its capacity. No holds barred. Those folks had their mat, and they were walking, they were running, and you could see it in the picture. Along the way. Do you remember those? Same kind of image. Jam-packed. Operating at capacity. Full capacity. So they had to advance the building. Expand the worship space. Find later, years later, another group of folks expanding office space, expanding preschool space, operating at capacity. You would say those folks were pretty healthy. I like that kind of health, don't you? I love that kind of health, don't you? It's worth thinking about. Personal, family, friends, church. What about the culture that we live in, the community we live in, the greater community? How well is this community? In the 60s and 70s, I know some of you weren't born then, it was the hippie generation. It was also known as the what generation? The love generation. You know, it had those old big fluffy flower things and the Volkswagen bugs. And I mean, life was just to be had and was great. How many of you remember that? Oh, see, that's great. What's our culture today? What's the last 10 years been like? I wonder what historians will write about 2010 to 2020. What will be over those years? Do you think it'll be the love generation? I think not. The decade we're living now is an acute culture, isn't it? It's not a culture of love, it's almost a culture of hate, isn't it? And at the epicenter tends to be politicians and issues of the day. And I'm observing, I think you are as well, the chief way to win any argument is to point out how the opposite is a hater. And hate speech belongs to the other side. My practice as a pastor was to encourage people to become involved in politics, to know the issues. That's to say that God blessed us to live in a part of the world where we can directly influence our government and culture. And I encourage my people to be informed as possible on all sides of the issues and then vote. But I never told congregants how to vote. I adopted a thought line by a Texas pastor named Dr. Tony Evans. It goes something like this. God Christ did not the Democrats could take over. Christ did not come so the Republicans could take over. Christ did not come so you, whatever, libertarian, whatever you are, well, I don't really care, just fill in the blank, could take over. God is not a Democrat or Republican or any political force. He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. And while we're walking in this kind of paralyzed season, we have the good news. We know who's going to win. And we can live into that. And we can change the world around us because we know God has asked us, do you want to be healed, and we have answered yes. And we're picking up our mat, and we're walking, and we're bringing grace, mercy, forgiveness, unity, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. We bring healing. It's a mistake, people, to think that the political party of your favorite is going to stir the water and throw you in and you're going to be healed. It's God who says, pick up your mat. So I ask you today, where's our focus? Is it in the pool? Or is it in Jesus? When Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk, where are we going? We're going to remember it was Jesus that healed us and called us and blessed us. Where are we living that we can say to ourselves, next time will be different. My turn is coming. If only I could instead live into. Maybe it's time to focus on wellness. Maybe it's time to focus on Jesus. Maybe now is the time for us to pick up our mat and follow Jesus. Let us pray. God, in these moments, as we reflect upon your word and this account of this paralytic, we pray, O God, in thanksgiving, where we can see plainly that you take those who are hurt and lonely and least and lift them up and bring healing and empower them to not only walk, but to run. God, we ask as we look at our own lives, as we look at our own fellowship, as we look at the world around us, that we would be your people who bring healing, strength, and goodness, because you have empowered us by your call through Christ Jesus our Lord.